elsewhere.
There's already been a number of top signings around the league. You know, I'm not going to get into a whole big in-depth, guys. Is there any of the signings that have taken place that we haven't already spoken about that have really jumped out at you, Davey?
I suppose the two that I've looked at today would, you know, I don't think it's been announced by Cardiff yet, but Andre Hotham looks like he's going back there. And Carson Chewbacca, of course, going to Edinburgh. It'll be interesting to see how Chewbacca gets on there. He'll be facing a lot more rubber than he faced in Belfast. And at the end of the day, his stats in Belfast didn't really back up that he's elite level that'll make Edinburgh any further up the league than they've been over the last number of seasons.
It's funny that, isn't it, with Chewbacca? He came in, okay, into a difficult situation. You're trying to be the guy to replace Stephen Murphy, but he never really had the ability that Stephen Murphy had. And despite the fact that the defence were doing their best to cover for him, you saw that the defence maybe hung back a bit more and didn't pinch as much as they did when they had Murphy behind them. So going in, Davey, to Edinburgh, as you say, facing a lot more rubber, you don't want to speak too much bad of a former player unless he goes to Nottingham Panthers, of course. But, you know, is Chewbacca in danger of being found out unless he performs well?
I don't think found out's the right terminology, because he came to Belfast, you know, with a pretty good CV. He was a Hobie Baker finalist, maybe from memory. You know, talented goaltender, but had the ability to win a game on his own, but had the ability to ship five or six in the same, making the same kind of basic errors that he was making. He didn't seem to learn. You know, there'd be the goalies that frequent the Kingdom of Giants, Navy, FTP, hammering me here for this, because I'm not a goalie, what would I know? And that's true. But, you know, you can only comment on what you can see, and I could see weaknesses at times with Chewbacca. It'd be interesting, you know, Hadlowski's going to be a big, big set of pads to fill there. And I wish the guy well. He is a former Belfast Giant. He came and he helped us out when we had a problem, and he did his very, very best for us. But I don't believe that he will even come, I don't think his stats will be comparable to Hadlowski come the end of the season.
Aaron, anybody standing out in the signings this month for you?
Yeah, I think one that stood out, Thomas Kirke, gone back to Cardiff. Mm-hmm. He was there, I think, 2 years back of the year that they had a disastrous season. And he really stood out. I think he scored above a point a game that season in a team that finished, I think, maybe one from bottom in the league. So I think he's probably a key one. Another one be quite interesting is David Brown moving from Hull to Fife.
Yeah, that's a good one, that.
I think that, obviously he took Hull last year to the playoff semi-finals. Kevin Regan, who's been at Fife for the last couple of years, I think is retired. He certainly moved on, I think probably retired from the game. And I mean, we're very big on Kevin Regan. So similar to Chewbacca going into Edinburgh, I think it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And it'll be sort of, again, big pads to fill there. But I think he could possibly take Fife, maybe just... I think Fife have actually built quite a... I wouldn't say there's any major standouts in the Fife side, but I actually think they could be a very good little team this year. And with someone like that backstopping them, they could be very dangerous again.
I have to say, for myself, looking at the list of the people who have come in, Chris Lawrence moving into the Coventry Blaze from the Nottingham Panthers. That's a big loss, another big loss for the Panthers, because I think Lawrence last season was fantastic for them. And then also, Nottingham have just maybe gained the fact that that Eric Lazon has pulled out. He didn't look any great shakes, to be honest with you. He looked like a guy who's a bit of a clogger, and they've brought in a guy, Schultz. I don't know whether he's considered to be a replacement for Lazon or not, but Lazon's loss from the Nottingham Panthers is a loss for everybody else in the league. I think the Nottingham Panthers gain from that. What I will ask, and we'll talk about, our old friend, formerly of this parish. What did you call them earlier on? Noel Russell. Davey, the Manchester Phoenix are in the EPL. The Manchester Storm are in the Elite League. But they're having to move very, very quickly. They don't have very much time to put a roster together, and they're bringing in guys. All seem to be coming from Utah, and so they all seem to know each other. And Pasha there is putting together a side that is trying to gain some sort of identity, but not having a lot of time to do it.
There's something to be said for recruiting guys in this situation that know each other, because you're going to get a little, at least chemistry off the ice, you know. In a brand new organization, they're going to need to be a tight unit, you know, going forward here. They've brought in, what's his name? Sorry, Tuleman, second year pro, spent the year in Germany last year, looks a decent enough player, going to be an unknown quantity, but he's played on the big ice. There'd be no transition, small ice granted in Manchester, but you know what I mean? Most of the rinks around the Elite League are the 200 foot rinks. So, you know, nine games out of 10, you're playing on big ice. You know, Salazar, we talked about in a previous podcast.
Salazar is the general manager called him.
Well, say no more. Korea, that Matt Korea, by all accounts, sniper, all round player. You know, they're going to have, Salazar would have had, I would say, other teams around this league in for him. He is going to be a very, very good player for Manchester. We've spoken to Noel a few times off the record over the last few weeks. They'll be setting the target. Their target, make no mistake about it, will be minimum be qualification for the league, or for the playoffs, sorry. So 8th and above is their target for this season. They'll try to do a bit of damage, and they will take points on certain nights. I think it'll be a difficult season for them, but, you know, it's they've got a good nucleus there of 5-6 decent level players.
Aaron, you and I have stood in that rink at Altrium many's a time. I think we christened the nickname Driller for Denisette in that very rink. But it was
didn't he score consecutive hat tricks?
Consecutive hat tricks against the Manchester.
I think it was three consecutive hat tricks as well.
I think he went. Weren't they all against Stephen Murphy as well? When he was at the Phoenix,
three games there, three hat tricks that season. That's right,
or at least one was against Steve Fone, maybe. But yeah, it was a happy hunting ground for Driller Denisette. But we know that if they can gain an identity, if we know how much Mr. Russell likes his rough, tough teams, you know, maybe they want to get a bit of muscle. But if they can gain an identity and get a decent crowd that's going to develop there, then that rink could become the fortress that they want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, well, looking at the players they've signed, I think the identity they're going for is something mafioso. I mean, you've Salazar, you've Scarcella, really, you've Scarcella. Sisca, you've Foreign.
Hey, what's the matter, you? Hey.
But it's saying that, I mean, and again, as you say, our former host here, our former panelist, sorry, here, Noel, was a big fan of the rough and the tough guys. But the roster they've signed so far is actually very small.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, they've a lot to do. They've not signed a huge number of players yet. There seems to be a lot of interest in the Storm name that maybe wasn't there for the Phoenix when they were in Manchester. Mm-hmm. And I know, obviously, they only played a couple of seasons in the Elite League after coming back and before dropping down to the EPL. But, you know, I think there definitely seems to be some kind of sort of romance almost around the Storm name that seems to be bringing old fans back out. And I think they've done well to tap into it so far, and hopefully that sort of feel good will bring people back to the rink. I just had a quick look at sort of debut seasons in the Elite League, and you know, the London Racers in their first season didn't win a single game. Edinburgh in their first season in the Elite League won 9, and Fife in their first season won 8. So I mean, I don't see them being, you know, maybe 15-20 game, well, maybe not 20, but pushing to win 15 games. And I think that would be a fantastic season for them, considering the fact that they didn't even exist a month ago.
Yeah, very true, very true. Well, moving on, officials. That wouldn't be a podcast without talking about them. And this weekend passed, seeing the summer camp for training for the Elite League officials take place at Ice Sheffield. Simon Kirkham, Gordon Perry, Joy Johnson. That's Joy Johnson, squeaker. Sorry, she's married now. And BJ Ringrose from the USA Hockey working with 25 UK officials. It's Davey, it's always going to be a hot topic, and it will be a hot topic, and it'll be something we'll talk about week in, week out, no doubt. But it shows a form of investment in trying to develop UK officiating leading into this new season.
Yeah, it's always good to see them getting a bit of extra training, a bit of extra coaching, bringing guys in from other leagues and other systems to just point different things out that they might be doing wrong or just things that they can add to it. It's see, you've got noted there that we're going back to the three-man system right across the league, back with the video review system this season. So backward step for me. I thought the four-man system worked really, really well, and we were getting a much cleaner game, that 0-0 tolerance where, everything was getting called. I thought made for a better spectacle, but we have what we have. But it's good to see, yeah, to answer your question, it's good to see that they're being public about the extra training that these guys are getting.
Aaron, it's going to be the officials really on a hiding to nothing. You know, the fact that they will try to develop, but we're in a position where, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. We make do what we have.
I don't think any official in any sport goes out with the intention of getting things wrong. Mm. And it's sometimes hard to remember that whenever those perceived wrong calls go against your team. To be honest, I think it all adds to the atmosphere, and it can get a crowd up and going and whatever. With regards to the four-man system, I think last season, the problem came when, I think the point of the four-man system was to sort of to bring some of these new, younger officials up to speed. But most times in Belfast, we ended up with, Hicks and Darnell, and that sort of seemed to defeat the purpose of the four-man system. And then you weren't sure which referee was meant to be sort of taking the senior role, as it were, and so on. And it didn't work from that point of view at times. But I think, they are damned if they do and if they're damned if they don't. But I wouldn't have them any other way, really.
It's a good point that, Davey, Aaron makes, the fact that, having that and using the extra and come from the four-man system to the three-man. But in that four-man system last season, you had a senior referee and you had a development referee. And, sometimes, not all the time. But it also left it in a position where the development referee was making bad calls and not being overturned by the senior referee. So you were having a mismatch depending on what half of the ice you were on. So, is this damage limitation?
Are we talking about Stephen Hogarth?
We are talking about Stephen Hogarth.
he did follow us around a wee bit last season, didn't he? I can see if a three-man system, if you've got a senior referee, are there enough senior referees to go around every week? Or is one of these junior referees going to be refereeing a complete ice surface now on his own? We'll see how things go at the start of the season. It doesn't matter whether there's five referees on the ice. Whenever you get beat, it's their fault. Whenever you win, they've had great games. So it's just they're part of the game. They're part of the furniture. You just have to respect them and get on with it.
Well, moving on to our final point regarding around the league and the Elite League deal with Premier Sports sees reduced coverage. Unfortunately, this year was more or less a game a month. Obviously, cost is a factor there. The fact that you listen to Murph chatting on the Cat's Whiskers, and with the CHL, the Swedish Hockey League, and the costs involved there being a big factor, Davey, it's better than nothing. The coverage has improved year on year, and you can understand the frustration that Murph has, the fact that they're trying to produce a product and maybe not getting the credit they deserve for it.
Premier Sports has been great for the coverage of the game. Wouldn't it be fabulous if it was mainstream and everybody was able to get to watch it and there was a game every week, but Murph is enthusiastic, right? He drives us forward and he doesn't get the support that it probably is enthusiasm and the product deserves. It has improved a lot. Let's be honest. Whenever it first started out, it was a bit village, as Noel would say, but it's
consistently going to make me laugh. Sorry. Go on.
It has improved massively to the point of, like the playoff semi-finals, finals, the live show with, coverage by Paul Leary, Murph coach, all really, and good analysis, good pictures, getting the stuff on screen, right? It has been an evolution and they've got better and better and better. And now they've sort of taken a step backwards through no fault of their own. The coverage is being reduced to one game a month. Let's hope that we'll get a few Giants games through the season that we can't get to ourselves. But Yeah, it's disappointing to see it sort of being pulled back a bit, but you never know what will happen going forward. We've always had a problem with, TV coverage of a minority sport in this country, and you get a company that comes in and wants to do it and wants to drive it forward and wants to put money into it and just can't get their foot in the door.
Aaron?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not that disappointed as long as, we've talked about the quality. I think quality over quantity. If they're going to be spreading themselves too thin to show a game every week, I'd almost rather that they went this route. And they made sure that, the game comes across in the best possible way. I've always read, around sort of different forums and stuff about people complaining about the presentation and so on. And I've always thought it's been, it's a bit harsh. The guys do a very good job and they do as well as they can. The one other thing, I believe Premier Sports actually is going to HD this year.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think would be, which again is a shame that there aren't more games showing in HD, because I think that makes a massive difference to televised hockey. Again, having watched NHL from, having watched it online from sort of little screen that, or little tiny screens that fit it into the corner of your browser, to now being able to watch it in, ultra high definition, the difference it makes is just unreal, and it's just a shame that we won't get to show it off more that way.
I remember watching Stevie Eiserman on VHS videotapes. You had no idea where the puck was. You just saw the movement and you saw that it was good. But yeah, moving up to high def is going to make a massive difference. I think you just have to listen to the interview. I know Murph's been on here many a time, and no doubt we'll have him on again in a number of weeks' time. But you just have to see the enthusiasm he has for the game, the enthusiasm he has for covering the game, and the frustration that he has, because nobody's more, I'd say there are few people more frustrated than Aaron Murphy in the fact that he wants to come out and cover as many games as possible, and the money's just not there. It's a minority sport. Premier Sport have obviously put in as much money as they can compared to the ratings that they're getting, and it's all about supporting that coverage rather than people are. I hear from various other people moaning, and people who may have presented other shows that showed the Elite League also pointing the finger at the quality of the coverage. But it's what we have. They're doing their best, and it's not as bad as people seem to make out. I actually think at times it's top level coverage, apart from when they have that Noel guy on. If you could less of him, it'd be great. But it will be interesting in this coming season to see. Can we get a few more teams in? We're going to get it from across the league, and will the coverage improve? Which I no doubt it will. And if it does, will that drive into something bigger and better? Right. And one of the final things we have to do now is chat about the Belfast Giants' new signings. First of all, Mitch Ganzak, a 31-year-old defenseman from Redford, Michigan. He's joining from the Graz 99ers in the Austrian League, and he's got a pretty impressive scoring record for a D-man. It seems, and we'll talk about Johan Edgdebham as well in a second, but it seems that we've gone for an all-out attack. We do have Nickerson as a bit of a D-man, but Ganzak himself looks like a guy who's a very offensive defenseman.
Yeah, and he'll tie in very well with the likes of Mason, Walser. We've got a lot of attacking options going forward there. I think the big Swede that's coming in might mind the shop a wee bit more along with Nickerson. They might be our two shutdown guys. But yeah, he's coming in and he's played in quality leagues. Obviously, he's played in the Italian leagues, the Danish leagues, Austria last year. And it seems to be a bit of a setup man. He'll probably play a lot of time in the power play as well. Big body, 200 odd pounds and, be hard to shift from in front of the net should he get there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these guys on the ice. I think we talked earlier in the show about the fantasy hockey element of it, and it all looks good in paper, but actually looking forward to seeing some of these guys out on the ice now.
Aaron, your impression of course, like I say, we're talking about statistics here and some of the scouting reports that you read on the web, but your impressions of Mitch Ganzak?
Yeah, I mean, before, and as you said, we're going to talk about Johan. I'm just going to call him Johan from now on. But yeah, we're going to talk about him later. But he has been the last signing. But sort of prior to that, having seen who we'd picked up in Ganzak and Walser and so on, I mean, I have to say, I hope that Stephen Murphy is fully recovered from his injury of last season, because at that point, I thought he might have been facing a lot of work. I think we're going to be playing a style very much. And again, I think Walser referred to this earlier in the interview and so on, of really, we're going to be aiming to you know, if the opposition score four, we're going to be aiming to score five. And I think that's going to be very, very enjoyable to watch as long as it happens.
I think that's something we took away from Walsh's interview earlier on, most certainly. I chatted with Mr. Gansack last week following his announcement of the signing. Just start off by asking for people that don't know you, you know, what sort of game do you play? What can the Belfast Giants fans expect from you?
I mean, I like to think of myself as just a solid two-way defenseman. I'm not really flashy. I'm not the fastest, not the biggest, but I feel I have a really good head for the game, good intelligence, make smart plays, and can contribute on special teams.
And so what do you know of the Belfast Giants? You've just announced today that you're coming over for this season. And what do you know of the league and of the Belfast Giants?
I mean, as far as the Belfast Giants, I know they've been one of the better top teams in the league for a while now. Don't know too much about the league. I have a couple friends who have played on other teams, and they enjoyed themselves. But it's going to be a new experience for me, and I'm excited.
Talking about you, looking at your career, you played for 4 years in Miami in the NCAA before a bit of time AHL in Manitoba and the likes. And he said, but before in 2010, you made that jump over to Europe. Now you're in Italy for quite a while, and then Denmark for a few years. What is the decision? Is it a case of I have skates and will travel, or you feel, you know, I just want to give it a go in Europe?
After that second year over here, I mean, for each individual, it's different. I mean, I wasn't getting too old, but I realized that maybe necessarily the dream of playing the NHL maybe wasn't going to happen for me. I mean, sometimes it's hard for players to come to grips with, but I made that decision. And I had a few friends who went overseas prior to that, and you can make more money, and if you can see Europe while you're at it, why not? So that was the reason why I came. And I haven't left yet. I love playing in Europe and hopefully can do it for a few more years.
You've been doing it quite successfully as well. You've won a championship in Denmark, two championships in Denmark, sorry. Do you think that your game had to change when you traveled over to Europe? Did you have to play a totally different defensive game?
It had to change a little. Each league, Italy, Denmark, Austria, I mean, each league is kind of different, depending on their players. Italy was kind of similar to back home, but Denmark, I really had to change. A lot of younger players, a lot of speed. And then Austria, it's more, I mean, advanced, older players with good experience. But playing back home, you can kind of get away with a little more. Be a little more aggressive, more physical compared to the leagues in Denmark. And I've heard the UK you can play physical and be aggressive, which is something I like to do. So hopefully this suits me well.
You're coming into a defensive unit that has a lot of firepower. It seems to be a very quick, very, very offensive thinking defensive unit. Does that really suit your game?
I mean, everyone likes to score and put up points. When I was younger, that's kind of what I worried about. Now, I mean, if that's the role that I'm placed in, I'll do it. But now I try and focus on being on the ice for more goals for our team than the other team. I'm more focused on my plus minus and being sound in my own zone. I kind of got that mentality from the coach I played for the past 4 years, Todd Bjorkstrand. He's really defensive minded and take care of your own zone first, and the offense will come.
In your career around Europe, you said, you know, Italy, Denmark, Austria. What was the biggest challenge there? Where did you find the toughest?
I mean, each brought its own challenges. I mean, my very first year in Italy was different. It was tough. It was my first year overseas, kind of jumping head first, not really knowing what to expect. And then going to Denmark, it was a very young league, a lot of young players, not too many imports, a lot of good Danish players. But the coach was tough. It made me better, but he was tough. A lot of skating. And then Austria, I mean, it was a really good league, a lot of good players. So each league brought their challenges, and, I mean, you just have to adjust and kind of to what the league is about and adjust your game and go from there.
I know the Sheffield Steelers last season got the services of Thomas Petruska, a guy who was in Herning with you and then went on to Graz. And coming into this, you say it's more of a North American physical style. Are you relishing the challenge?
I mean, I am. It'll be nice to, if you hit someone and you don't go to the box for roughing. not that that happens all the time, but that part of the game, I haven't really, that will never go away from me, being aggressive. I mean, I won't be getting in 30, 40 fights a year. That's not necessarily my game, but be tough in their own zone and be physical when I can and not have to worry about the ref's arm going up every time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we haven't just spoken with your new player coach Derek Ulster. His attitude was the fact that he wanted an aggressive side, a side that was really going to challenge for the league. So it sounds that's exactly the sort of game you want to play.
Yeah, that is, and you know, he's a coach. I've seen where he's playing, what he's done, and I mean, I haven't met the man yet, but a lot of respect. So whatever he wants, whatever role I'm put in, I'll do it to the best of my abilities.
And just to finish off, what do your summers entail? It must be only a couple of weeks before you fly into Belfast, but how are you spending your summer?
This summer I actually got married.
Oh, congratulations.
So, that was exciting. I'm kind of getting ready for that. It's been a long summer. I've been home since the middle of March, so that's not normal for me. I usually get home at the end of April. But first couple of months, just the wedding stuff, then getting married, going on a little honeymoon, and for the past couple months, just working on it, getting on the ice here for a few times before I head over, and that's it. Nothing too extravagant.
Fantastic. Well, as I say, it must be only a couple of weeks before you arrive in Belfast. We look forward to having you over here and getting this season started. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. I'm excited.
And thanks to Mitch. Moving ahead, Johan Edge-de-Pam. Edge.
I'm going to tell you how to pronounce it.
Go on.
We're going to do it phonetically.
Are we? Go on.
A. D.
D.
Palm.
A de Palm. Johan
A de Palm.
Johan A de Palm. So the J is silent. Okay. Johan A de Palm, 33-year-old D-man from Uppsala, Sweden. Played in Munich with Mike Compton and with Noah Clark. And he was also part of the Hamburg Freezers team that topped the DEL regular season a few years ago before they went on to take on the Nottingham Panthers in the CHL. Aaron, your impression of this guy? Let's say, Davey said earlier, you know, maybe a bit more of a stay-at-home looking D-man.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the key signing in relation to the others. The others sort of, as I say, had me worried almost that Murphy would be, you know, overworked. Whereas I think having someone like this on the roster is very important now to balance things out a bit. I mean, I think we're still leaning towards the attacking side, but you know, I have a bit more confidence now that with someone there who's you know, a defenseman who wants to defend. Now, I'm not saying that the other guys don't, but you know, I think the offensive side of their game seems more important. But again, he's the amount of experience he has around, you know, the likes of the DEL with Munich, as you say, with Hamburg and the top Swedish league. You know, I can't wait to see him play. I think he's going to be similar to, you know, to Alfring, where you maybe aren't going to notice him, but if you watch him, I think he'd be a very enjoyable player to watch.
I agree. I think he's going to be quite influential. Davey, you know, it's for every Alfring, you need a Brookwell. And, you know, this looks like our Brookwell.
This is going to be an interesting guy to watch because, as Aaron said, it's hard to know whether he is going to be that stay-at-home, mind-the-shot D-man that we think we're getting, you know, a lot of pedigree. You know, he's played in the Allsvenskan, a lot of years in the DEL, and then he's dropped into Austria last year and sort of gone back 6 or 7 years in his stats where he's really picked up the assists. You know, his last few years with Munich and Hamburg, he seemed to be, but I don't know how much ice time he was getting in Germany, whether, you know, he was more of maybe a third line rotation and he's going to be, you know, expected to be a top four D-man here. I would expect him to be one of our top four here. Coming with a real, real good, you know, CV there. all those years in Germany, you don't get into the DEL for year upon year upon year if you're not a very, very good D-man. He'll be very, very competent. I would imagine he'll be in the mold of an Elfring. He'll be that Rolls-Royce player. I think he'll complement Walser very, very, very well. And, you know, big 6 foot Swedes, you know, the likes of your Lindstroms and all, you generally don't hear of a bad 6 foot Swedish defender.
I'm thinking back to some of the previous European defensemen I've had, you know, Roman Gavalier and Kasper Zestesenko. I think it's a different style, but it's one that's very watchable.
In contrast to Walser, it's the thing about Adepam is when we went to Munich to see Munich play, he was in that side. I don't really remember him, but I do remember Walser playing at Berlin. You know, two different styles of player. One guy probably is doing his job and you're not going to notice him unless A, he does something extraordinary, or B, he does something wrong. And I feel this is what Adepam's going to be. You'd like to think that he gets the credit he deserves because he's going to be in the right positions doing the right thing. But he's going to be the guy who's going to, I feel maybe the guy's going to have the style that he's going to stop the pucks getting to Murphy. And therefore, the only time you're going to notice him is if those pucks go by. And I like the way he's going to fit in here. I do like the way we've got players like Walser. So just have a quick thoughts on the D. You know, I do like we have players like Walser, the guys who are, we have an all-out attack defense, but it looks at things. You look like Mace and guys who can really carry the puck into the zone. And, but also mix them with that. You've got Nickerson, who's going to give your backline a bit of bulk. A guy who's going to protect your other D-men there. He's also going to give a bit of assurance that the fact that somebody's going to clear the crease if you're going to try to get in the face of Murphy. And then you've got the likes of Adepam, who I think is going to be of that style that you, not just typical stay at home defenseman, but maybe of a that sort of player. Looking at the six, we have six import D, Davey, and that's unheard of for the last number of years.
Yeah, I remember either phoning you or maybe in the guise of MSN or something back in the day when I was in Morocco. Oh, it must be 7-8 years ago when we consistently went with that sort of 5D, and we were always wondering whether one of these years are we going to have 6D, and it was always going to be 5D and a British player or whatever. This is a very, very good D unit, and all these guys have experience. I know we talked about it earlier on the big ice sheet. You know, there's not going to be too much transition required to play at the Odyssey. There's a lot of attacking, and you know, Wilson being the youngest guy there, big body, and you know, we're expecting big things. There's not one D man there that you could really say looks out of place in our roster. They're very, very, very good players.
I will say, I'll come back to it. I know it's been a bit of a hot topic over the last couple of weeks. Sorry, just said a bit of a hot topic the last week or two. But Aaron, you know, the average age of this D is 32 years. Is that experienced or is that old? Could stay as a 34-year-old, I'd say experience.
Age is a number, you know. Again, it's once we see them out on the ice, I think, you know, that's when we're going to see what I don't like to judge it on an age, really. I just want to see how they perform. You know, if they're all, you know, like they should be out there with a walking stick, then, you know, maybe it is a problem. But I think it's experience. And, you know, to go back to a point you mentioned earlier just about Mason and his puck possession, I think that's something that's actually very important. I mean, the opposition can't score when we have the puck.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's I think that's how we're going to defend. I think we're going to play the game in the opposition zone, you know, with the experience the guys have and the ability, I don't think it's going to matter.
With Benedict in the side, the actual age of the team itself is nearly 31. Now that's only about a year older on average than the team that won the league 2 years ago, Davey. And speaking as a 40-year-old man, do you see that as being old?
Paddy, speed
many happy kills, returns, by the way.
Yeah. I heard Steve Thornton give an interview last week there where he used the term, you know, speed kills. And we have got, you know, there's Jeff Mason, flying machine, Ganzak, Adepam, and Wilson are all supposed to have really good wheels. Walser is going to have really, really good movement. You don't get to be 37 and playing in the leagues that he's playing in if he can't move a bit. You know, that D unit is mobile. It's whenever you come up against 23, 24-year-olds that I know playing football on Saturdays, that is where your experience comes into play. Where your positioning on the 200-foot ice pad is going to be crucial. And these are players that, you know, the Teddy Sheringham's, the first yards in your head, you'd be in the right place, you're hard to beat. So we have speed and we've got experience. That is a tough decor. That is a decor that you would look at now if you were building a roster and say that is the potential. You built, you know, defences win championships, you know, forwards win by, you know, by how many. It's a good looking roster there. It's a good looking decor.
I have to agree. With Benedict on the sidelines, you know, we've still the capability for possibly one more import forward signing, Aaron. Does this need to be a top end power forward?
I think that would be nice. I think that would be ideal. And I think the real benefit is that with having Benedict there and available, it gives us time to wait and to find the right person. You know, with 13 imports already signed, as it were, and available for the first game. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see if it's someone brought in early. I mean, has Sawada signed anywhere yet?
I don't think so. I think Sawada's still available.
You know, I think that's someone like Sawada, you know, maybe he would complement that position well, or someone of that ilk could do that job. But I don't think it's necessarily... You know, a power forward is a real nice thing to have, but I think I'd be very confident with what we have, and I'd be very confident that what we get will complement what we have already.
Davey, as you say, you know, defences win championships, but forwards win games, and do we need that one more forward? What sort of forward do we need to win more games?
Yeah, I would say we'll have one more forward, and I think he'll be in before the start of the season. I'm sure we'll be looking for that stereotypical power forward, the big guy, the guy that's going to get game-winning goals, the guy that's going to be the go-to guy whenever you need him. That, you know, a big body, fast, and someone who's been there, done it. I would expect the average age not to come down with our next signing. I would say that we'll be looking for someone that has been round the block, someone that knows where the back of the net is, and that's someone that can come in. We've got guys there. We know we've got the likes of Forney, who last season what he had about 40 goals. You know, we know Chris Higgins is going to create. We know what Kiefer Lloyd, you know, Peacock Shields can all do. Beats is the unknown quantity, but, you know, the risk reward from him that we could get 20, 30 goals from him. I think somebody good will come in here to complement this and potentially a top line forward still to come in here.
How much are you craving the start of the season, mate?
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, I have to be honest. Yeah, it seems a long time since we were slouching our seats there in the NIC.
You know, that definitely wasn't us. That wasn't us.
That's it's good to, you know, able to draw. That's a good thing about hockey. You can draw a line under the pain of last season, because it was a difficult time to be a Belfast Giants fan. You know, we're not used to seeing our team struggle as it did, and the reasons are there for anyone to look at from last season. But it's good to draw a line under. Hockey's good. You get a fresh start every season, and especially with the massive turnover in players this season, you know, there's still that sort of nucleus of Murphy and Kiefer, Lloyd, Shields, Peacock, but we've added real quality, and it's new. It's almost like it's a new team. It's a fresh beginning, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what we'll do in those first few weeks.
I have to agree. You know, we talk about identity and the fact that there's likes of Keith and Lloyd and Murph and Mace. They give us Shields and Peacock. They give us the identity. They give us the familiarity of the team. But to complement that with the likes of Walser, the likes of Wilson, the likes of, you know, of Ada Palm and Beach. Aaron, it's starting I think the excitement, usually for me, I get this lull in about June, May, where I just really couldn't care less about hockey. And then when you start to get into August and the season comes ever closer, that sort of excitement starts to build and you start looking forward to that first game.
Definitely. I mean, last season was so bad, I spent the last month of it in Australia. you know, I couldn't wait for it to be over. There were a lot of games that were tough to watch. Things didn't go our way. But as Davey says, you know, it's a fresh start. Some of the signings that have been made, I mean, we've touched upon Walser. I can't wait to see him on the ice. Forward wise, I can't wait to, you know, the idea of maybe, you know, Higgins working with Forney or something, you know, seeing what way the forward lines are made up. You know, I really, really cannot wait to see how things go. But even sort of going beyond that, and we've touched on it a bit, I mean, the quality across the league this year, I think, is as good as I can remember, you know, for pretty much all 10 teams. And I think there's going to be some fantastic games, not just between sort of the regular, you know, the Belfast and Sheffield and Belfast and Nottingham. You know, I can see some fantastic games against even the likes of Edinburgh and Fife, who maybe before didn't test us that much. I don't think there's going to be a single easy game this year, and I think it's going to be a very, very enjoyable league.
I have to agree wholeheartedly. Well, on that note, gentlemen, I think unless there's any other business, anyone? No?
Not from me, mate, tonight. It's already after 11 o'clock here. Ready for me.
Well,
I have to say, some things don't change.
Still late at night, mate. On that note, then, I'll say thank you very much, David. And thank you. Welcome back, Aaron. And we'll catch you here in a couple of weeks for the next episode of A View from the Bridge.